my life in Christ, by St. John of Kronstadt, second book, starting page 42. From what do blasphemy and contempt of the spiritual word proceed? From the pride of our heart, from the presumption and satiety of our intellect. You constantly notice that God does not tolerate the slightest momentary impurity in you, and that peace and God Himself leave you immediately after the admittance of any impure thought into your heart, and you become the abode of the devil if you do not immediately renounce the sin, so that at every sinful thought, and still more at every sinful word and deed, we must say, "This is the devil," whilst at every holy and good thought, word, deed, we should say, "This is God," or "This comes from God." Imagine, therefore, now what a resplendently adorned, pure and immovable palace of the Almighty must have been the most holy soul and the most pure body of the Mother of God, in whose womb God the Word came to dwell and abode in her by His Godhead with most pure soul and body. Imagine what eternal, infinite, unchangeable holiness she is. Imagine of what reverence and glorification she is worthy. Imagine what we are, a reed shaken with the devil's wind. St. Matthew. The devil breathes his blasphemy into our hearts, and we are immediately shaken with it. We are disturbed, depressed, when we ought to despise all his blasphemies or not pay any attention to them, looking upon them as an illusion. As in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are undivided, so also in prayer and in our daily life, the thought, the word, and the deed ought to be undivided. If you ask anything of God, believe that it will be done in accordance with your request as God pleases. If you read the Word of God, believe that everything that is spoken of in it was, and is, and shall be, or was done, is being done, and shall be done. Believe thus, speak thus, read thus, and pray thus. Great is the Word, great is the thinking, speaking, and acting so, the image and likeness of the Almighty Trinity. Man, know yourself, know what you are, and conduct yourself in accordance with your dignity. Merciful Lady, ever manifest and show thy power upon me and upon thy people who are God-fearing and virtuous, and deliver us in accordance with our prayer from impure, crafty, and blasphemous thoughts, from all our sins and passions, and from the snares of the devil, for thou art the merciful Mother of God. Pray to Our Lady, the Mother of God, to the apostles, to the angels, and to all the saints, as you would pray to the Holy Ghost Himself, or rather, as you would pray to the Holy Trinity, who sanctifies them and rests in them, that they may be one in us, St. John. For thou art holy, our God, and restest in the saints. Exclamation from Vespers. Amen. We live in a kind of seductive darkness of the heart and intellect, but the Lord Jesus Christ is our enlightenment. The saints always see us by the grace of God, because they are in God and God is in them. They are one spirit with the Lord. And the Lord sees everything, hears everything. Therefore, when, for instance, in church you look upon the image of God's saints, believe that they see you, and above all, that they see your heart. By whatever passions enemies may attack you, endure it without falling into despondency, without anger, meekly and humbly, and do not allow any movement of impatience, malice, murmuring, and blasphemy to arise in your heart. Every creature witnesses to the infinite mercy and righteousness of the Creator. Even Satan himself and his angels, by their shameful existence and most malicious sneers against men, prove the immeasurable mercy of and righteousness of the Creator. For who were originally Satan and his angels? What lights, what treasures of blessing, and of what they were deprived by their own entirely voluntary ungratefulness, pride, malice, and envy against the Lord. Did they not fall quite deliberately, intentionally, with a purpose of eternally waging war against the Creator and his creatures, reasonable beings endowed with speech? Judging by Satan's malicious action in the world, by their number and power, we can guess how powerful a spirit was Satan, the fallen angel. Judging by his great darkness and his manifold enticements in men scattered throughout the whole world, which deceives the whole world, we can guess how bright and full of truth he originally was. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Judging by the most evil, carnal, and impure desires suggested by him, we may conclude how amiable and perfect he was in the time of his goodness, received by him from the Creator. Judging by the craftiness and wickedness, vials, we may guess how wise he was and how much good he might have done, of how much service he might have been to his Creator in his providence for the inferior spirits of men. From this enormous colossal of evil, Satan may judge what a great, good, beautiful, and most bright, powerful, wise creature Satan previously was. How many gifts of the Creator's goodness were comprised in him, and how much was he deprived by his wicked and intentional madness? By his malice in men, judge how good he previously was. By his envy, judge of his previous goodwill. By the boundless activity, avidity, and avarice he excites in men, judge of his previous generosity. By his pride of the greatness he received from God, by his despondency, weariness, and sometimes unbearable anguish he inspires in men, judge of his former blessedness. For he was previously as good as he is now evil. He offers an eternal lesson of humility and obedience to all the heavenly angels and to all well-intentioned men. For however perfect the angels are, and however wise, and in general, however perfect men may be in some things, they have received everything from the goodness of the Creator alone, and not from themselves, and must thank the Creator for everything, and pray to him for everything with undoubting faith in his goodness and omnipotence, with the hope of receiving everything from him. The evil spirits fell through pride and malice. There is a lesson for all men in this. That is, to humble themselves before their Creator, to consider themselves as nothing, to ascribe everything to the Creator, and to live solely by the Creator and by fulfilling His will. And how wonderful are thy works, Lord! That which Satan was not able and did not desire to attain with all his wisdom was attained by the Virgin from a perishable but spiritually immortal race. The Most Holy Virgin Mary attained unexampled humility, attained the highest holiness. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, St. Luke. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, St. Luke. Likewise, all of us, being of ourselves mere littleness, must constantly and deeply humble ourselves before the Creator, having recourse in everything in His mercy. You cannot conquer any passion, any sin, without gracious help. Therefore, always ask the help of Christ your Savior. It was for this that he came into the world, for this that he suffered, died, and rose from the dead, in order to help us in everything, to save us from sin and from the violence of the passions, to cleanse us from our sins, to bestow upon us power in the Holy Spirit to do good works, to enlighten us, to strengthen us, to give us peace. You ask how you can save yourself when sin stands at every step and you sin at every moment? There is a simple answer to this. At every step, at every moment, call upon the Savior. Remember the Savior and you will save yourself and others. Avail yourself of my gifts, not separately as self-lovers, but as my children, who should have everything in common, not grudging, but freely offering unto others the fruits of the works of my hands, remembering that I gave them freely to you, in accordance with my fatherly goodness and my loving bountifulness. So it is in the family, where the father, mother, or brother brings presents, he bestows them upon all his children, or a brother upon his brother. And if the children, the brothers and sisters, live in mutual love, then they do not feel happy or satisfied if their father or brother passes over one of them, or has not given one of them the same as he had given to others. And why is this so? Because through their mutual love they feel as one body, because they are all like one, like a single person. So should each one of you behave. And I know how to reward you for the love which is so pleasing to me. If I am bountiful even to those who do not fulfill my commandments, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, St. Luke, then shall I not be bountiful to my true children, for whom I have duly predestined all of my bounties? Truly I will. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I have compassion. If you fall, rise and you shall be saved. You are a sinner, you continually fall. Learn also how to rise, be careful to acquire this wisdom. This is what the wisdom consists of, learning by heart the psalm, "Have mercy upon me, O God, after thy great goodness," inspired by the Holy Spirit to the king and prophet David, and say it with sincere faith and trust, with a contrite and humble heart, After your sincere repentance, expressed in the words of King David, the forgiveness of your sins shall immediately shine upon you from the Lord, and your spiritual power will be at peace. The most important thing in life is to be zealous for mutual love and not to judge anyone. Everybody shall answer for himself to God, and you must look to yourself. Beware of malice.